Legend Code!
Hello, America, and all your ships at sea. I have returned, and I may reclaim what is rightfully mine.
I'm not copying Nicholas. I just went, Nicholas did Bane. Once Nicholas does Bane, no introduction can top Nicholas.
Hello.
Whatever. It actually would have been funnier to do a Randy Orton promo, like the over-explaining one.
Yeah.
I was like, I am speaking into a microphone to you. I, Randall K. Orton, who is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That is the belt that I am holding, and also this other belt.
Oh my god, he's Mojo Jojo.
Yeah.
Randy Orton is the Mojo Jojo to WWE.
With slightly more entitlement.
Yeah.
I do love his over-explaining promos, because he is is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And he did beat John Cena at TLC, and he deserves your respect because he is Randy Orton, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, in case you do not know that.
Just in case you missed a couple episodes, Randy Orton's here to explain it all to you.
Randy Orton would be awesome for comic books, just like the recap page at the start. In case you missed it, here's Randy Orton with the recap. Anyhow.
I now want this to be a thing.
Earlier in this episode, some men who have disagreements with each other were saying words, and then they came to fisticuffs. But it did not involve I, Randall K. Orton, World WWE World Heavyweight Championship, of which I am champion of the world for the WWE.
I guess we might as well start there, because I'm sure we're all looking forward to Cena Orton, I would imagine 17 at this point, or something like that.
Something like that.
If you follow me on Twitter, I've been going through the Royal Rumble matches during my work hours, and I watched the Royal Rumble 2011, and they did the whole, you know, like how sometimes they have the two big stars at a time show off, they kind of face off in the ring, and they did that with Cena and Orton in 2011, and got no reaction 2 times. So, of course, it makes sense to do that match 3 years later, and it still has no heat whatsoever.
Sure, yeah. Let's do that again. You know, not just because we don't have other stars that are getting, you know, actual reactions, like, that are getting actual, like, cheers and love, respect. No, we put these guys. We put Cena and Orton other than, you know, other stars that are getting, WWE logic.
Well, you see, I don't even mind if they, because, I mean, ideally, and we'll get to this later, it would be wise for them to save Bryan into WrestleMania at this point, but that doesn't seem to be the direction they're going in. It's just that you really didn't need to do Orton and Cena. I guess the big thing was they wanted the two, quote unquote, two biggest stars of the industry to unify the belts last month.
Yeah.
Considering
that they're also having to wait to save these, like, save, like, the really big stuff that looks like it could be coming for WrestleMania, you have to go, well, Randy Orton and John Cena, okay, let's do this again, and then we can set up the stuff that we're wanting to set up going into WrestleMania. Okay, cool. Because as Triple H sure pointed out, Royal Rumble is the beginning of our road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, but it's also set up in the lamest way. They have a rematch because that's what you do.
Yeah.
And Randy tries to get...
Because you usually get rematches when you lose the title. Technically, Cena didn't lose. They unified it. So, I mean, technically, he shouldn't have a rematch because his belt no longer exists.
He has a rematch because of jorts.
He has a John Cena rematch clause, which is you get a rematch no matter who wins the title. Like, he did that a couple years ago with the Summer of Punk, where Punk lost the title to Del Rio, and Cena got the first title match because Cena logic.
Because hustle, loyalty, respect.
Yeah.
But,
I wanted to add on that there's rematch because there is a rematch. Not only that, it's also that they set it up as, like, a straight-up wrestling match. Like, that's, like, a big thing.
Yeah, shouldn't that be, like, the norm, not a special? Should it be, like,
yeah, it's like
hey,
wrestling?
That was fantastic.
That's just a regular match. What, are you mad?
That was fantastic when Stephanie came out and had to sell that. She's like, there's going to be... So you pinfalls and submissions. I'm like...
Okay.
So you're announcing a match. and they're trying to...
see Carter announcing that, and that would actually just be spectacular in its own right.
Because, I mean, this is kind of WWE logic now, is that they end up, because they kind of book towards gimmick pay-per-views instead of booking towards gimmicks, say, crap, we just did a TLC match. You can't really go forward with that, so we're going to go back to basics. And they're already trying to sell it in the commentary. Oh, this is old school. It's going to be one-on-one, mano-a-mano. And they just already kind of set up the ending, I think, on Raw this week with, like, will John Cena get himself disqualified? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's an easy way out for them, because they hate having Cena lose for whatever reason. But... I imagine, and we'll get to this in a bit, the big match that they seem to be preparing for WrestleMania is Orton versus Batista, because we asked for that again. But going back to repeating storylines, they also injured John Cena's dad. At this point, I would just not show up to the arena anymore if I was John Cena's dad.
John Cena's dad is amazing. Like, he should be on every show.
You know what? Cena doesn't suck. You suck.
They should have him mic'd live for the entire show.
Yeah.
Like, just replace the commentary team, just have John Cena's dad be like, ah, the whole time. It would be great.
Can we replace Jerry Lawler with John Cena's dad?
Can we replace Jerry Lawler with a stump?
Yes. Can we replace Michael Cole with John Cena's dad?
Can we replace Michael Cole with a mime?
And, you know, I used to like JBL. Now I'm kind of going, you know, no. Now JBL's become the stereotypical WWE, like, commentator. So now he's become the, all right, can we just replace the WWE announce team with anyone?
Can we replace JBL with a Macho Man soundboard?
That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah!
I think we should replace JBL with JBL from, like, 2007, when he actually cared about calling these matches and added insight to it. Instead
twerk it, Michael! Twerk it, Michael!
That.
Conspiracy!
Oh, you had to remind me. Oh.
Apparently everybody twerks in the WWE now, so that's a thing. But yes, I guess Orton, Cena, who do you see winning?
Oh boy!
Nobody.
It's going to be a no contest. it almost screams no contest. I mean, because first of all, I would have called Cena winning at one point, but now it seems like in the way they're going, it's like, well, let's probably do a no contest, or Randy Orton wins by DQ, or
Randy. At least Randy keeps the title in some form, because apparently they're teasing Batista taking him on next.
Yeah.
And he's a face, so...
They're teasing Brock taking him on
Batista
next.
Batista as a face is weird. I'm not gonna...
It's lame.
It's
interesting.
Like, Batista needs to be a bad guy. He's more fun. It's like how Randy Orton is much better as a heel. Batista's much better as a heel. But you can't have two heels fighting each other, so... And if they're
Batista, it's weird because Batista's acting like a face, like high-fiving people and being happy, but he's still dressing like the old douchebag Batista.
Yes, yeah,
which is why I'm hoping he switches really, really fast. I want him to come out in like the open shirt with like the sunglasses, and just talk about how he's just stop it. Okay, I'll stop. I love douchebag Batista. Like, that's the only time I've ever liked him.
Yeah, and it's weird, because that's how he left the company, but his whole build-up and his return was kind of like, we are ignoring how he left the company, and it's like, oh yeah, he's coming back, but I'm like, yeah, he kind of quit.
Well, that's never anybody comes back. They always come back as a face, which is why when Jericho came back last time, like, it was so awesome that he came out, everyone was cheering him, and then immediately made them boo him, because it was when he was doing the no-talking thing.
I didn't know that. Last time he came back was...
Well, that was, I mean, the first time. It was last
yeah,
year.
That,
yeah.
No, was
exactly,
it?
Exactly a year ago.
No, I thought last year one more was... No, okay, the surprise of the year before that.
Yeah, okay, that's the one I'm thinking of. When he was... Yeah. When they had the end of the world as you know it thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was what I'm thinking. But yeah, when he came back with that and then he didn't talk...
That was funny.
Yeah, it was amazing, because everyone, whenever anyone comes back, they come back as a face until they do something overtly, you know, heelish, which in his case was just not talking to people.
Because Jericho's another one of those guys who fully admits, no, please let me be a bad guy. Please.
I mean, most wrestlers are more interesting as the heel than the face. There are very few that I think come off. I mean, it depends. Like, and we'll get to this. I guess we might as well transition to this in a bit. I feel like WWE's really terrible booking of Daniel Bryan has helped him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because he doesn't fall into that trope of the typical WWE face, because they really don't want to give him that push. So he is ultimately that underdog, because you do expect him to lose or get screwed over in some fashion. And not Cena, he has a broken arm, even though Cena's going to have the world with one arm anyhow.
Yeah.
Underdog push that they try to continue to give him. And it helps that Daniel Bryan, for better or worse, looks like an underdog to most of the roster, because everybody else is giant and meatheads.
But the thing is that even though they're all bigger than him, he could still murder them with his knee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like, that's why that's the reason I look like, all of the things aside, like the booking, Daniel Bryan's like actual personality and what he does, I love him so much because he looks like he's legitimately murdering people.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, I was thinking about it.
Like the end of Raw last week, the cage match. Like, I thought he was going to kill Bray Wyatt. I thought he was going to murder him back into Husky Harris.
That actually would have been hilarious to watch. Suddenly, Husky Harris, a wild Husky Harris, with a Nexus armband appearing for some of
Yeah, I was gonna say, and I was thinking of like how they used to push Rey Mysterio, and the thing was, Rey Mysterio never really had an interesting offense that made him look like he could win. He was just bouncing around all the time.
Not when he was in the WWE, you know. I was watching stuff recently and seeing like some older footage. Like, Rey was never believable in terms of being like the little guy who could take down big dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they sold it that way, and you know, you could see it was very much like, you know, the little guy who has heart. Yeah, go get him, fella. But he didn't. He still looked like he. I'm taller than Rey Mysterio, and mm-hmm. I am a skinny little motherfucker.
Yeah,
but
I think
I don't think it would look right. But Daniel Bryan, like, he's just not a huge monster. He's still like a built dude.
Yeah, but
Daniel Bryan has been sorry.
go on.
Daniel Bryan has been murdering dudes in the Indies before, so that's totally his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the other thing is, like, his offense is an offense. Like, Rey Mysterio, a lot of it depends on him bouncing off of people and then picking him up for really weird spots. But especially those drop kicks in the corner that Daniel Bryan does.
Yeah.
I was about to go off on the 619, but then you start talking about Daniel Bryan again. Now I'm happy.
Yeah, because it is funny when you think about the thing about the differences between the two, the dramatic differences. It's like Rey Mysterio, as Earl just mentioned, is like bouncy dude going all over the place, and Daniel Bryan, the dude who will do very powerful knee drops on you and freaking drop kick you to death. And
lots of stiff kicks.
Or I got even better. Rey Mysterio, here, sit on these ropes while I spin around you.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, here, I'm going to feed your own teeth to you. Deal with it.
Or I can do a very powerful-looking submission on you that actually kind of looks like it hurt.
Hey, Seth Rollins, try not to die from this.
Oh, God, yes. Anytime, Seth. Can we pretty please have another Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan solo match at some point again? Because that was amazing.
That would be cool.
Pretty.
Or Dean Ambrose. I don't mind Ambrose. Ambrose is cool.
I like all of them.
Yeah,
are we going to talk about the Shield now? Because
we're going to finish talking about. Well, we haven't really talked about it. We talked about Daniel Bryan, but we haven't talked about the Daniel Bryan way. Bray Wyatt match yet.
Oh, Bray Wyatt. My favorite dude at the moment.
Man, they're fun.
I love Bray Wyatt so much. Like, it's the character, the promos, everything. Like, were you guys paying attention to this year's, well, last year's Nixmas at all? When friend of the show, Tom Nix, is doing his giveaway stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see the promo war?
No! I missed
what, like normal, he does, you know, he did a wrestling one where in previous years, Ashley won it a couple times because once she did like a Cody Rhodes as Cody Von Doom promo. I think she did Damian Sandow last year.
Yeah,
that's really good.
Which was really good. And I did one earlier last year where I was, I don't think it was Bane as CM Punk or something like that. I don't know, but I got that. But this year, did Ashley win it again? No, I forget who won. It's some dude who basically did.
Wasn't it Josh?
No, it was Cole, I think.
Okay.
I don't remember. No, someone did a Dusty Rhodes impression. Like, he did, like, straight up did the Dusty Rhodes, like, had the shirt open. Did the whole time, daddy. Did, like, something like that the whole time. And one of them, one dude, did a promo where he just talked shit on me and Josh and a couple other dudes. So we all responded. And I basically did a Bray Wyatt promo on him.
That's awesome.
I'll have to find it and send you the link. But no, that was fun. I just, his way of speaking, it's so weird for the WWE because it doesn't have those natural pause breaks where people can go, what? It's so much more natural. And he's almost like Jake the Snake. It's very Jake the Snake.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I think Jake might have mentioned that too. But yes, it's kind of a very deliberate pacing and it's very different. And like last night, he has like that intensity to him, but he's not screaming and shouting. Like he screams and shouts to emphasize certain things, but he has a very calm way of speaking.
Yeah.
I think the audience feels if they would have said what to him at any point in the promo, Bray Wyatt would go into the audience and slaughter them.
Well, I mean,
they think we're not wadding him. He might hurt us.
I think there's certain people, and we'll get to this in a bit. There are certain people who knows how to work an audience, and this is the difference between a great superstar and somebody like Randy Orton. Like one of my favorite recent things was when CM Punk was in the ring with Shawn Michaels, and the fans are chanting one more match, and he just turns to him and says, "Yeah, I think I have at least one more match in me." And it's like, yeah, that's kind of the thing that the WWE, like, a lot of people miss is they don't know how to react to the crowd. Because everything's so scripted and so kind of prearranged for them. And oddly enough, the two biggest offenders seem to be Triple H and Randy Orton, because they always trip over each other's words if the other one messes up.
That's the funny part. It's like, Randy Orton, when the crowd goes insane, Randy Orton has no idea how to handle it. He's like,
oh, yeah, it's
what?
Great.
What? You're getting mad? What are you doing? You're not responding the way.
Like, during that, oh, what? I forget what it was, but that match he had with Sheamus where the crowd just straight up turned on them.
Yeah, the champ bomb.
Yeah, and it was that Raw, the Raw after WrestleMania?
Raw after WrestleMania, yes.
Yeah, and like, Sheamus just kind of rolled with it, and Randy Orton had no idea what to do.
Sheamus actually had fun with it. Twitter, his tweet afterwards was, well, that was fun. I went, Sheamus, you're cool. You're okay.
But from what I heard, I think this is Daniel Bryan on the Steve Austin podcast. Try for Steve Austin because he doesn't track his podcast enough. And he was talking about how Randy's like one of the most kind of well-kept people. So Randy seems very meticulous and very kind of detail-oriented and not want to kind of deviate from a set game plan. And I think that also goes for his matches because his matches against Kofi these past 2 weeks have been really dry.
It's really, and it's, you can tell, and he actually, I was reading somewhere about how you could kind of tell, like, Orton, like, his match with Kofi being set up for the obvious John Cena run-in at the end, it's like, oh, well, here's match, okay, so I'm like, they're making Randy Orton, Kofi Kingston the main event, oh, that's why. Oh, boy. Because that's funny. Like, it's, like, funny how the two is, like, John Cena, he knows how, oddly enough, say what you want about John Cena, he knows how to react when the crowd's going mental. I don't know how he's developed this way of handling it, but he knows how to react when the crowd is suddenly going into a one direction that he can never predict, and he said, okay, I can work with this. And I went, son of a gun! John Cena can actually think on his feet. Randy Orton.
Randy Orton. I do not know how to react to this. I am Randall K. Orton. Please do not chant those things as I do not know how to react to them. And they go against the script I have been learning backstage over and over
Randy
and over.
Randy Savage.
Who is this Randy Savage?
Randy Savage.
You are not cheering for Randall K. Orton. That is who you should be cheering
R-E-D.
For. I am WWE World
Heavyweight.
Why are you cheering? Who? He is not even in this ring right now. Why are you cheering for him?
Shawn Michaels.
Hunter, what should we be doing? Hunter, Hunter, you need to show me respect, Hunter.
But, I mean, it's
barely too fast for that to be actually Randy.
Yeah, that, I mean, you didn't explain everything. But I'm trying to get back on topic. I mean, is there any doubt that Daniel Bryan wins this one?
A little bit, but not a whole lot.
No, it's Daniel Bryan.
Logically speaking, it should be Daniel Bryan, but like I said, the WWE's booking of him has been really all over the place. So
they just have to finish the storyline. It just has to be over.
Because Daniel Bryan, because someone was saying, like, did they call like an audible on changing up the Wyatt family storyline?
Yes, they absolutely did.
Because it's like, oh Lord, Daniel Bryan's getting too loud of cheers. Okay, change the plot line now.
It was that they were getting mainstream exposure with the yes chant.
I saw that clip when at that Michigan game, and they started going. Was it Michigan game, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They started all going yes, and I went, oh, well, yeah, I can see why they changed that storyline.
Yeah, I mean, this is not usual to change someone from face to heel within like 2 weeks. I mean, the only one who does it faster is The Miz.
Oh, The Miz was bloody. Oh, crap. He has a movie coming out on ABC. Yeah. Uh-oh.
See, I don't think technically Bryan ever went heel in this case.
No,
I think the plan was always for him to do the infiltration and then bust through.
Well, I think that was the plan, but if you ever want to know if the WWE wants you to be heel or face, watch SmackDown. Because depending on what they pipe in, that's what they want people to react, and they were piping in like boos during his promo with Bray Wyatt when he was talking to him, like, after they jumped the Usos and stuff, that SmackDown before he turned on him. So I think they were hoping that people would turn on Bryan and then he would overcome it and then he gets a big kind of response. But yeah, I hope eventually the plan was for him to turn on them. They just kind of had to speed it along.
What's funny is I don't really watch SmackDown that often because I'm doing other stuff. But then last week with last week's Raw, I only saw the opening match. So I only saw the entirety of the Daniel Bryan stuff. I saw the opening match, then played Diablo 3 with my girlfriend for 2.5 hours. Then I saw the last match.
This week would have been the better to do that.
Yeah, I even said
that.
That
would have been
fine. I even said that to Tom. I'm like, why didn't I do that this week? That would have been so much better.
Because last week's Raw was like a much more like solid Raw. This week's Raw was, I just started hearing, I was like thinking in my head, I'm hearing the theme, the WCW Nitro. Every time they flash to that backstage scene of John Cena's about to arrive at the arena. John Cena's about to arrive in real life. Oh, God. Am I having a flashback?
Oh, John Cena's about to... Oh, wait, no, that's just...
Is it the late 90s again? Is it...
That was the best part, though. They're like, oh, it's just Brock Lesnar. Just Brock Lesnar?
That was... that was...
The dude with, like, his music plays, people go, oh, fuck, and then you fuck off? Which was... That was the last... Wasn't that the last time he came back when there was some... a bunch of people in the ring, and then his music played, and Cody Rhodes went, shit, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And he just bailed.
Good. And he's like, oh, I'm gone.
That's the proper way to use Brock Lesnar. Have people be scared shitless in the ring. Not this Big Show bullshit.
No, here's the thing with Big Show. It's that Big Show, if 3 weeks ago, he was the dancing New Year's baby.
Yeah. I saw that. That was funny.
And okay. Now he's tossing Brock Lesnar around.
Wait a second.
Tossing Brock Lesnar in the spot that should have rightfully been Mark Henry's.
Yeah.
Mark Henry isn't injured, so why the fuck did they take it away from him, the rightful king of all that is awesome?
It's like, why wouldn't you have... It's like, okay, Big Show, Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar versus Mark Henry. Oh my sweet lord, that would have been amazing.
Tell me who will honestly say they don't want to hear Mark Henry shit talking Paul Heyman while Brock Lesnar just goes, shut up.
Yes, because that's the only other person.
I'm gonna feed your face to your face.
Just shut up.
Oh, just shut up.
It's like,
say something stupid, Paul. I'm an ice fishing.
Like, Brock Lesnar, I'm just here, just chilling, just doing my date so I can go back to my to my little cabin
with Sable.
With Sable, and do some fishing.
Eat Jimmy John's.
And eat Jimmy John's.
Eat a Jimmy John's, everyone.
Eat a Jimmy John's every day. So I mean, the funniest picture I ever saw of Brock Lesnar just with the Jimmy John's one.
Ah, oh yeah, wearing the ice fishing clothing. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well. I mean, throw predictions out there. Even though I doubt anybody here predicting Big Show. Big Show versus Brock Lesnar. Who takes it?
Mark Henry.
Can we have Mark Henry do an interference?
No, I got it. Enzo Amore.
Yes.
Because you know why? All of those guys are SAWFT soft.
Yes.
Please tell me you guys watch NXT.
Yes, yes.
Good. I would hate for that to go over someone's head.
I have Enzo Amore.
Everyone loves him. And who cannot love him?
Who's the singing one?
Oh, Aiden English. He's actually, why are you naming my favorite dudes? What is that about? I follow two NXT wrestlers on Twitter. Enzo Amore and Aiden English.
I called it Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn's cool.
He's on Twitter. I don't even know that. He's awesome though. But
neither one of you are Bo-leavers?
I'm not a Bo-leaver. I do stop Bo-leaving, apparently.
Bo Dallas, the one man who started getting booze, and he said, Bo,
I'm gonna run with this. Actually, I like the character they have him doing now. It's good. It's gonna be interesting to see how many of these guys get to the main roster and how their characters translate.
Yeah, I don't think his character can translate, but
no, I think it can, but it'll have to start over again from the beginning.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see. I really wish they would do that with Cena, but it's probably too late now.
Like I think they could bring Enzo up now and he'd be gold.
Oh good lord, he'd be funny. That it'd be funny actually to get Enzo like get that and then go, hey, where we could put Zack Ryder with him.
No.
No,
no, Zack Ryder.
I know. I was
could
just
stay in catering.
The only way you could ever
him and JTJ. They could just hang out in catering.
Okay,
watch
yeah, that's
show,
fine. Okay. Oh, JTJ and Zack Ryder in the catering tag team.
The catering. Oh my god, he could order a belt off the internet again.
Yes.
Be the catering,
tag team. Like JTG and Zack Ryder. The catering tag team champions.
I forgot JTG was still employed by them. When was
yes,
the last time he did
are.
Anything?
I don't know how they're still employed.
You know, what's the cause also of their Mason Ryan? Is he
he's
still with them?
He's in NXT. They occasionally trot him out as like a thing, and then, you know.
Yeah,
because
everybody
happens.
Who goes down
he
there.
Still can't saying, wrestle.
Oh, he's really
the main roster. They're awesome. And then, yeah.
Another guy would be Tyson Kidd, who is pretty good. Actually part of
different.
The main roster, but you only see him on NXT.
Because he gets injured often, and I guess they don't really have much for him to do. Like, I think really what's the biggest problem that they've had over there, well, they've had several problems. The biggest problem, I think, is that they know they're going to do the brand split, because a lot of the times these would be people who kind of got recognition and time on SmackDown to do their thing. Instead, you have 5 hours of wrestling, but it's the same kind of people they focus on.
Well, and now SmackDown is Raw enhancement. It's,
yeah,
it's not. It's not really like its own. It's more Raw enhancement.
Here's some matches that we already showed you on Raw, but we're going to do them again. Or here's some matches we're going to do on Raw next week.
Yeah, that's pretty much. It's like SmackDown is the Raw tryout match. Oh, okay.
Now comes the Raw rewind.
Like, okay, that worked. Okay, that worked on SmackDown. Okay, we'll do it live on Monday. Okay, cool. That worked. Okay.
And it gets worse this time of the year because they bring back so many old stars that it's just harder and harder. Because they brought back Batista, they got Brock. I'm sure Taker's going to make his yearly appearance at some point. Triple H is going to get involved in a feud. Shawn Michaels is going to be around there somewhere getting promo time.
And of course, if the things could be working out the way it is, soon you're going to have like Hulk Hogan make some random appearances to set up something for WrestleMania.
Yeah, and then
please,
you
for
have,
the love of God, don't let it be anything physical.
And you
it's
have
going, going to be his neck is broken.
Out yours now.
Don't put him in anything physical. Just put him in an interview spot. Put him.
Sorry, I stroked out for a minute. Who are we talking about?
Hulk's making an appearance at WrestleMania.
No, he can't possibly fight. He'll drop the leg and break 2,000 pieces.
He really can't. He won't pass a physical.
Let him interview. Let him manage somebody. I don't care. I don't want him in a match.
Let him and Roddy Piper have a pissing contest. I don't know.
It's like,
I really don't know what Hogan can do at WrestleMania at this point.
Piper's in better shape. Piper could do, like...
Let's have Piper fight Dean Ambrose.
Piper can actually do...
fantasy booking.
Piper can actually somewhat still do... do a match. I'm not saying it'll be a particularly brilliant match, but... At least he's not in as bad a shape as...
At least he wouldn't die.
Zach Hogan, like... If he had Hogan in a match, it'd be like... Oh, we're putting Hulk Hogan in a match. No! That would be a terrible... It's like... Because imagine it'd be like, oh, we're going to put Hogan in a match. It's like, let's have Hulk Hogan go to the physical within 5 seconds. No.
Yeah, he walks to the doctor's office. The doctor looks at him and says, no.
No. Especially when they did the Daniel Bryan appearance on there. It's like, he's like, well, we can clear Daniel Bryan to go into the ring, but that man suffered a very bad concussion. So we'll just have him do interview and perfect. Just have him do an interview. Get the audience going, and then go back to the ring and have Bray Wyatt do an On the Titantron video. Fine. Cool. It's like, okay. It's like, and if you're going to do Hogan, let's just have Hogan do a nice interview, or...
Yeah, I don't
do something,
know.
But I don't know.
I think the common theory is that he will just be like in the corner of Cena or something.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
They fight the real Americans?
That would actually be kind of funny.
The real Americans versus the real Americans. And then Cesaro could swing Hulk Hogan on top of John Cena, and then the world will explode into puppies and flowers.
I think the world would have thrown puppies and flowers. I'm not sure what you're talking about with Hogan though. That would not be something I want to say. Giant Swing Hogan. Oh God.
No, a Giant Swing Hogan on top of John Cena, like at the same time.
Okay. But
and then they both explode.
The puppies and flowers.
No, they just explode.
Gibbets
and gore.
Weren't we talking about something else before?
Yeah,
I have no idea where we are. I was going to transition to the New Age Outlaws coming back and start talking about...
Oh, God.
No, we were talking about...
Fuck those guys. Fuck those guys.
Can we just talk about random? Because that was weird enough when I was talking to someone on Twitter, and it was funny to have that conversation of... it's like the weird decades of all being represented in the... It's like... A little Attitude Era with, I was like, why is CM Punk fighting Billy? This is weird. We are in weird land.
Why is CM Punk fighting the Pokevolved version of Dolph Ziggler?
What is happening?
Every time JBL is like, does Billy Gunn age? I'm like, are we watching the same thing? Because Billy Gunn has not aged well. In HD, his hair just looks fake and his face is full of wrinkles and stuff.
As much as I love Cody Rhodes and Goldust as a tag team, I don't think I could give less of a shit about this match.
No,
fucking New Age Outlaws.
This is why it's in the pre-show, because it's a perfect little pre-show.
Why can't they just fight the Shield forever?
It's pretty much like, okay, cool, you have...
I can't their matches just be a loop of Cody going for a disaster kick and Roman Reigns Superman punching him in the middle of it. Which was the best spot on Raw, by the way.
I don't
quote unquote mark out often, but like that, I went, holy shit! I think the only other time in the past couple months I've done that is when Jake the Snake showed up.
I literally stood
up and went, what the fuck you?
When I saw Jake the... I swear, I like the entire... But I love seeing everyone's my Twitter feed and everyone else just blow up with, Jake the Snake Roberts!
Yeah, I think I saw the F word like 7 times in a row from 7 different people on my Twitter at the same time.
I went, oh my God, we got Jake the Snake! And I love Dean Ambrose, like...
Yeah, he could... he couldn't even hide that he was happy to have a snake, you know, all over him. He was like, oh, this is everything I wanted.
I read later that apparently this snake just shit on his chest.
I was reading about it, something with Jake where he said that they actually snuck him into the arena. Like, they had him take a separate car after the show had already started. They didn't tell anybody he was going to do it. They didn't let anybody know he was going to be there. They snuck him in, kept him in, like, a room by himself because they didn't want it to leak at all.
And then Triple H ruined it.
Which is smart. No. No one knew he was there.
Well, no, he posted on his Twitter before, like, there's one more surprise, and he posted a picture of the snake bag. I don't think many people pay attention to Triple H's Twitter feed, but yeah, that show. Yeah.
I like fake Triple H's Twitter feed better than real Triple H. But I haven't seen as much from him lately. The huge wolf dick.
It's just funny to see how Jake the Snake appears. Jake Snake appears in the rain suddenly. Holy crap! That was definitely like that, like last big mark out moment I had was, wow. And now by the way, they do have Jake the Snake pop up at Royal Rumble. That would actually be pretty neat if they do it.
I don't think they will, but
it would be kind of.
That was his goal. He wanted to get back and be in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
I think
but he
cool.
can't.
I don't think it will. But.
He can't. Just because, again, from what I've read, just the physical thing, I'm pretty sure he can't.
He's gonna have to. Well, maybe they'll find some way to kind of. Maybe they'll, like, do a gentle spot where they just kind of put him over and he ships. Kind of treat Bret Hart whenever he comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Bret Hart is more like, okay, everyone just ignore Uncle Bret. He's going to say some really racist or weird shit.
His last appearance in that weird recap Sports Center thing they do at pay-per-views now. And I went, what in the world is Bret Hart doing? What is going on with you, man? Poor dude. He had a stroke, and I can't be too hard on Bret Hart because, well, he's had some shit happen. He had his career ended by Goldberg.
What matches haven't we talked about?
I think we talked about all the matches on the card itself.
Except the Rumble.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the Rumble itself, but we talked about all the singles, the matches.
Except they are potentially setting up any Naomi versus AJ match, but.
So AJ can win again because she's the best.
Yeah, because AJ's like, they are setting up Emma.
And it's not time for the Emolution yet.
But that will be cool when they get Emma ready to come.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't like how the announce team was talking about it last night.
I'm like, yeah, that's a little bit.
They're preemptively shitting on it. And I'm like, no, don't ruin the perfect thing you have.
Like, all right. So before we get into one thing I want to say is, I did like the Mae Young tribute they did last night.
They're usually pretty good at their, well, in general, they're always pretty good at their video packages, but. I like the Stephanie voiceover because that's not something you see or hear often.
That was genuine. That was really cool.
It's always seemed like she's been, like, Mae Young has been a big part of her life. They really do seem to be really close friends in real life.
And that was really nice done. I mean, because that was neat to see, like, Stephanie go, I'm doing the voiceover. And it's like, wow. I think I could tell she was having a rough time getting through it. Like,
it's totally weird that Stephanie McMahon or McMahon in general would want to hog the spotlight. I don't even know why you would do that.
Well, I mean, it's not Triple H starting off the show with himself to introduce his two friends who he wants to have join WrestleMania because of his ego.
No, that was this week's Raw.
Yeah. And I don't even know what the authority is anymore. Are they faces? Are they heels?
I don't know.
Are they
Who are they?
Well, what's weird is that Vince McMahon said it in something recently where he's like, we don't have heels or faces anymore. We just have gray, like, image, right? Gray. It's like, no, you don't. You can say that, but you can't do that. For storytelling purposes, you need to have a good and a bad guy. Even if it's someone you don't, like, you want to be a good, bad guy, whatever. You have to have them do actual physical bad or good things. You can't just be this shitty little wishy-washy, oh, I'm an asshole, but I want the people to love me. That you can't have that. You can't fake that. That has to come naturally. That has to be a Stone Cold. That has to be a Rock. That has to be somebody who's an asshole, but a nice asshole. You, when you're an asshole, are a douchebag.
It's really weird when you deal with, it's like, are you guys in trying to do like a PG version of the Attitude Era? Because that was the only time you could probably remotely get away with that stuff. It's like, you kind of need the good, bad thing.
Yeah. If you're going to have an evil authority, they need to be fucking evil. Or they need to be people power. Johnny Ace, who was the shit.
That was great. I miss John Laurinaitis now.
I think
the
never thought
problem,
I'd say that, but I really miss
the
that.
Biggest problem with the authority to me, and just we'll get to the Rumble in just a second, is that I feel like this is kind of Triple H's ego, where he doesn't want to seem weak. So anytime something had to happen where either Orton has to lose or the authority would be usurped, Stephanie and Triple H are on vacation, they're not in the arena. They kind of divorce themselves from that situation, and it's really weird. Like, Vince always got his comeuppance because he always knew it was best for business if the fit. But Triple H and Steph is like, okay, something's going to happen. We don't want to bet, so we're not here today. And for authorities, why are they always on vacation? They've been on like 4 vacations in the past 2 months.
They're like George W. Bush.
I was going to say, I guess nobody's really running because Cena shows up 3 hours in and he doesn't get fined.
Well, is that normal? You work like a couple minutes out of a 3-hour day?
Yeah, but you don't show up at the end of the 3-hour day. But apparently, I think it was Martin who said it looks like he was running the entire time, so maybe he came from the ass house show.
Listen, Earl, listen. Hustle, loyalty, respect. They just couldn't see him.
Oh, trust me, it would be really hard to miss him in his day girl outfit.
I think I said that last night, too.
You did.
No one can miss you in your Tron clothing.
It wouldn't be so bad if it was just the shirt, but he had the hat and the stuff hanging out of his back pocket.
At least he didn't have Hulk Hogan underwear on this week.
I did not catch it until later. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Someone took a screen cap. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, Lord.
So I guess it's now time. Because it's all about the numbers, it is time for the Royal Rumble match. And really, the Royal Rumble match has 2 stories this year going into it. I guess 3 if you want to count Roman Reigns.
They've only announced 18 participants so far.
I thought it was more than that by now.
No,
they also took out someone. Before they announced Barrett into it, but they took him out.
I'm looking at the list right now. So far, it says Batista, Alberto Del Rio, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, Big E Langston, Goldust, Cody Rhodes, R-Truth, Xavier Woods, CM Punk, Fandango, Rey Mysterio, Wade Barrett, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, and Eric Rowan.
No, Wade Barrett is no longer on the list, as far as I know.
I think they said, I was reading something about that, saying that Wade Barrett got knocked out of the Rumble for.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, they had some bad news.
Bad news.
Which that's a terrible gimmick, but I love it so much because he just fucking sells it. Like I want, like I've, if you've been reading the best and worst of Raw with Leather, where he was fantasizing that eventually he's just going to keep coming out in bigger and bigger pieces of equipment until he comes out with a giant mech. I've got some bad news.
Suddenly, like random, like quiet moment in the show, going normal, and then suddenly. I've got some bad news. I'm like, oh my god. Wade Barrett and a giant mecha would make my day on so many levels. Like, Raw, right? I swear, Wade Barrett and a giant mecha will be just going on Twitter going, you guys gotta turn it to Raw! I don't care if you're not a wrestling fan! There's a dude and a mecha on a wrestling show! You gotta see this! Suddenly, why is our rating suddenly spiking? Dude and a mecha disappeared on your show. Oh, sweet. Okay. Wade Barrett having then top himself every week in a new mecha. Oh, God. That would be amazing. That would be awesome. Now that I'm pondering this. God help me.
WWE.com.
This could go into a cul-de-sac like no other, so you better stop me now.
WWE.com is just 20, but yeah, you're right. That's still like a third of the Rumble missing. But even going in, there's two big stories, I guess, about Batista and Alberto Del Rio. Which isn't much of a story since Batista just pretty much squashed them yesterday. Even though it's that weird WWE face business. I guess they don't have faces anymore. Attack the dude after a match is just a heel tactic.
Or a burst.
Oh, yeah, and Wade Barrett is really no longer on the list.
Yeah. And CM Punk was named the number one entrant in the Royal Rumble.
He's not going to win.
No, I assume the story's going to be that he gets pretty far, maybe Final Four, and he gets eliminated by either Kane or somebody who's related to Triple H, and that kind of builds. That mm-hmm. seems to be the story they're building towards.
I'm pretty sure they want like CM Punk versus Triple H at Mania or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Triple H wants it because he probably realized that everybody else at the top has beaten him at WrestleMania. Cena, Taker, Brock. Well, he beat Brock, I guess. But nobody cared about that match.
So they had it again.
I mean, ideally speaking, it should have been something like Triple H, Bryan or something. I mean, right now, Bryan seems to be so far down their pecking order as far as match priority goes at WrestleMania.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, I mean, right now...
I'm still hemming and hawing about maybe Shawn Michaels coming back, even though he says he won't, and it's a very slim chance. I think I'm willing to bet Hunter behind this. He's going, Shawn, come on. Come on, Shawn. Shawn, come on. We set this up. Come on. Don't fuck me here, buddy. Come on. Come on. Come on, Shawn.
I can see it because they had to basically fast track the Bray Wyatt storyline.
Yeah, and Daniel Bryan and Shawn Michaels in a match and WrestleMania. Oh sweet lord, that would be a show stealer. That would
be Daniel Bryan, Shawn Michaels, or Daniel Bryan Undertaker, because he said he wants to have at WrestleMania this year. He doesn't want Brock Lesnar. He wants Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan's the shit. But question
that would be
is
a unique match.
That would be awesome.
That would be very interesting. Undertaker would be playing around with his style a little bit too. Like,
yep,
that'd be fun. I kind of hope they end up going that direction, but I
and Daniel Bryan can't have a bad match with anyone. So
no,
he can't. He really can't.
He even had a good match with Big Show. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, Big Show had that fantastic match over Indy Orton at Survivor Series. Big Show
was
just...
What?
Big Show's just a fantastic athlete from start to finish.
They had what?
It was so fantastic if they dropped the entire storyline.
It was so fantastic, you couldn't even hear the crowd because they were just so... They were on the edge of their seat. They were speechless.
They lost their voices from screaming tonight.
The crowd went, well, we're good. Yep.
It was top to bottom a fantastic match for them. So they were just like, yeah, we can't do anything else with this.
And to be honest, if I had been part of that crowd, I would have left early.
I was wondering about that yesterday at the end of Raw, when they were showing Cena and Orton, and you had people even in the building already.
Well, that's where Randy went. Is someone was leaving early, and he's like, let me get in your car. I am hijacking this vehicle.
Can we stop by a Denny's? There are Denny's around here, right? Yes.
Have you ever played Grand Theft Auto 5? Because that is what I am doing. I'm playing like I'm in Grand Theft Auto 5. Give me your car. I am the WWE World Heavyweight Champion of the world.
But yes. So, I mean, what are your hopes or expectations for this Royal Rumble?
There's going to be 30 dudes. 29 are going to go over the top of the rope. Xavier Woods is going to be bullshit. CM Punk is going to be awesome. Roman Reigns is going to wreck house, and at some point is going to be betrayed by Dean Ambrose because that dude's evil as fuck.
But I would assume the entire Shield guys, all of them, will go pretty far. I would assume.
I think either Roman Reigns is going to wreck house and then get betrayed by Dean Ambrose, or all three of them are going to make it to the end and then somehow eliminate
each other,
or get eliminated at the same time.
I mean, the Royal Rumble is probably the perfect opportunity to further down the descent between the guys.
Yeah. As much as I never want them to break up and be best friends forever.
Who do you see starting this show with CM Punk?
That's a good question. Because there, any of these
people—they could put someone from the Shield in.
Yeah, any of these people would be, what's his face, credible in terms of someone who Punk would work against, because Punk doesn't like anybody.
Yeah, but I feel like it's going to be. Like, I feel like this is the Royal Rumble. I hope that they give they give somebody that kind. I mean, Roman Reigns is going to get that Kane push that, you know, eliminates like half the ring at some point. But I also feel like they might get somebody else that longevity where they're hanging with the number one content, the number one spot for half the match, and they get eliminated near the end as well.
Big E.
I was hoping, but they already did this. If Brian would do it, and they kind of have Brian and Punk be the number one and two entrant, and
that would be awesome.
Oh, good lord! That
I feel like Big E's going to be a big part of this, though. Like, whether he did it number two or whether he's in later, I think Big E's going to be like again, like Roman Reigns. He's going to be like that big king shit.
Role. Yeah,
big monsters in the ring. Just
I hope they use it. If Big E is going to be big, I hope they use it to. Set something up with Ambrose so we can get the title unification.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think, I don't have no idea who's going to win. I actually kind of like that this year. Like, there's so many different ways I could go with this. Like, I know CM Punk's not going to win because it makes storyline sense for him to get screwed out of it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But they could get an easy choice with Batista. They could have the surprise of Brian being in the match and then him winning, which wouldn't be a surprise.
But because he's not going to win.
Yeah, I was seeing online people saying the reason Brian's not been announced and there's a good chance he's not in the match is because that way the WWE heads off anyone going, well, why didn't Brian win? Because, you know, that's what would happen. If he was in and didn't win, people would flip shit at them about it.
Yeah, and I feel like it's going to be the same thing if he's not in it. I feel like once that number 30, if that number 30 entry comes in, it's not Daniel Bryan and he has to be in the ring, I feel like the crowd's going to turn on that match. Oh, yeah. I guess it's like CM Punk.
What if Brian and Bray Wyatt both end up in the match?
I was thinking like if
that
they
he just sees him straight out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I'm more concerned about like, oh, who's going to be the? They said they only have if you take out Wade Barrett, that's 17 people announced. That's another like 12, 13 people who.
Well, they have 20 on the site, so I don't know which.
Oh, who's the 20?
It's Batista, CM Punk, Del Rio, Big E, Miz, R-Truth, Xavier Woods, Kofi, Cody, Goldust, Rey, Fandango, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Rowan, Harper, Sandow, and the Usos.
Oh, that was the Sandow and Usos aren't on the list I'm looking at.
Okay.
I would assume the Real Americans are going to be in there, too.
Yeah, probably.
I mean,
you know,
automatic
big up for Cesaro.
Yep.
He's my dark horse.
Who does he giant swing?
Everybody at the same time.
I can actually see that. That's one of my favorite Royal Rumble spots is when somebody comes in and just kind of hits their finisher on everybody.
I want to see if giant swing someone and they just fly up into the air, like in you know in video games when it glitches and you hit a dude and he just flies straight up.
I want to see his uppercut because it looks awesome.
Oh yeah,
God,
Swiss death.
Actually, he could do the airplane swing on freaking Seth Rollins, he would probably have that glitch happen. Like, okay, I gotta sell this giant swing. Wait,
here I go. I miss Cesaro from when he was on NXT and was calling himself the boss of the WWE. he was so great.
He looked like he did look like a super villain out of. He looked like M. Bison.
He is M. Bison. I would not be surprised to see him like. I could fly across the ring while on fire.
Can we just have Cesaro say, of course! One time.
But for me, it was Tuesday.
Who do you see as possible surprise entrants? I know that kind of defeats the purpose.
Jericho. Jericho and Sheamus.
Yeah, those are
the no-brainers. And there's apparently they're both in Pittsburgh that weekend for some sort of signing thing somewhere else. Which is like, come on, guys, you're making it easy then. I would actually not be surprised if Jericho doesn't show up, just because everyone expects him to.
It's like the year when he was supposed to win, and they were thinking, you know, he's going to win, and then Sheamus won.
Oh, it would be great as if they play his music and he walks out and goes, ah, I'm not in the match, guys, later.
The audience would then start going, the heck?
He'd go from face to heel in 10 seconds.
Well, we know what Jericho's going to be when he returns officially.
Guinness World Book of Records, bestest heel turn.
Yeah, but I would agree with those two guys. And with who would genuinely surprise me would be JTG.
He's still in that. Who do they want to... Oh, you know, who's some, they've got to have someone from NXT in there, I would assume, a couple NXT guys. Like maybe,
yeah.
Zane still hurts, right?
My guess would be Rusev.
I was going to say, that, Neville is the one they're big on, right?
No, Sami Zayn's who they're big on, but he's hurt right now.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I heard that they wanted to bring up Neville because he kind of has that WWE look to them, where Sami's kind of really small.
Neville's not that big either.
No,
he's a tiny dude.
But he's ripped.
The big dudes are like Rusev. Rusev would be a good call. Oh, what if Karma? Oh, now I'm gonna get myself all excited again.
I would also
not here to start shit about that either.
I would also imagine that Kane might be a surprise entrant. I feel like he's going to be the one who eliminates Punk, just because I see them building towards Punk Kane at Elimination Chamber.
That lights him on fire.
That would actually be a fun. match.
Kane would have to wrestle in a business suit though.
Yeah,
like use a different moveset. Like,
that was so weird. I saw like a one because like Kane was at a local show. The Cincinnati show, and one of my friends took a picture of Kane wrestling in a match, and it was so weird to see Kane his business haircut in the Kane outfit. I went, what is this? This is weird.
Wrestle in a business suit with an entirely different move set that includes a move called polling the electorate.
And now he's polling the electorate.
And that's. And then some sort of Ayn Rand reference. I don't know. Libertarian bullshit. Is that a move? Let's do that. Libertarian bullshit.
In the Attitude Era, that could have been a move.
The Fountainhead. He's pulling the Fountainhead, Michael. He's setting up for the Atlas Shrugged.
Okay, that's great. Now, that's awesome.
Okay. But just before we get really far off tangent... just one more piece of information I wanted to discuss, even though I think we might discuss this more in a special next month, is the WWE Network, which they also announced recently.
Oh, man, I'm that's so tempting.
I'm there.
That's
I'm
like,
totally
it, cause I've actually been telling people if you're gonna get the network, I mean, I'd honestly wait till just around March, so then you could just set up for, so then you just go, bam. You get WrestleMania, bam, you get SummerSlam. For your 6-month commitment, cool.
You also get a week trial, so it would be like that start of March, so you would get that 6 months through SummerSlam anyhow, and then usually you don't need it until Royal Rumble again. But they are pretty smart with that because your re-up time would be around SummerSlam and WrestleMania every year.
That actually is pretty genius.
I told my girlfriend that I was reading it, she's like, you're going to get this, aren't you? I was like, yes. Okay. Like, I'm already paying $10 a month for Spotify, and I hardly ever use that. I would use this all the time.
Even if you don't, the pay-per-views itself.
You already stream the pay-per-views anyway. Well, yes, but I don't pay for them, and I feel really bad about it.
Yeah, and I think the difference would be the quality, I would imagine, so much. Hopefully it would be so much better on there. And you could stream it on I don't know if you... I stream it on my computer.
You can stream it on Xbox and other stuff like that.
Xbox, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4.
I mean,
3,
I know you
can
do it with the app, but I meant before with
Yeah. You'd have to have, like, a Roku or, like, a Google Chrome thing cast or whatever.
So I would have the pay-per-views back on my TV and watch it.
Just getting WrestleMania pays for the thing.
Yeah. And I guess
that doesn't even count the hours of Chris Benoit footage we can see.
Ooh,
with disclaimer.
With disclaimer, yeah.
I was going to say that I already paid him $9 a month for WWE Classics on demand, so it's just taking it from my cable company to pay them directly, so...
Yeah, which I'm sure they'll happy about.
And I would also totally get it, but it's not available in my country.
Not yet.
Not yet, but they will be.
Yeah, they're. I know they're doing that. It's just a matter of, I think they just want to get it off the ground first. Shit, they've been talking about this network since... Let's see, I lived in Bristol in 2011.
Oh God, yeah, they've been talking. Wow, they really have been talking about this a while. But one thing is, I heard how they're going to be doing. They're saying how they're going to pay per views is they're mostly focusing on like the '90s and that like
kind of attitude era, definitely
attitude and like the night attitudes and like and WCW in the night and WCW in the '90s, and they're not focusing as much on the '80s. And
I thought they had all the pay per views.
They do,
but they're saying like what they're going to upload.
They're like, going to switch content in and out. It's going to be like Netflix where they switch things in and out.
Yeah, so they're it seems like their initial they say their like initial setup for it's going to be like a much more like night like added like '90s like '90s to 2000s like focus like setup, and they're going to go like play around more with there, because just because you don't see it now doesn't mean you're eventually not going to see every, because you are going to see everything eventually.
Yeah, like they said, they're what's the initial content? 1,500 hours, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have the entire tape libraries of almost every major promotion you could think of from the 70s,
and small,
60s, from, 70s through now.
They have.
Plus,
they have GWF.
GW,
yeah, I mean, just from. Just from like rough math, they said something like 300 pay-per-views, and that would be about $900 on its own.
Mm-hmm.
So
theoretically, they also have their own developmental stuff that you couldn't see everywhere before.
They have a ton of content, they have a lot of that content prepared just because they've been doing stuff like Classics on Demand. They have YouTube. They've had the website. So a lot of that stuff, especially now that they kind of got rid of the whole business with the other WWF, so they can show that they'll go and actually say that name.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to go. Mm-hmm. That anymore, and they aren't as strict as they used to be, because like they used to, like if it was ever good, it would go to a black and white screen.
Yeah.
They wouldn't show Chris Benoit, which is always really weird, because like they would mention stuff that would happen later on in the show, and then they would just like completely skip over it. And I always hated whenever they said like you could say World Wrestling Federation, but you couldn't say WWF.
Yeah,
which is really awkward when people would cut promos talking about being a WWE World Champion or the WWE Intercontinental Champion, or the commentators would say it. And of course, the worst thing was the Attitude Era with the logo, which they couldn't show, which would draw like half the screen.
Yeah,
that was really weird.
I think the big problem now, well, at least from it's going to be like I assume they won't license a lot of that music back.
Some of it they will. Like just that's the only stumbling block still is how much music they can license, how much they can't. The one thing I'm like excited and well not excited but I'm surprised by is they're unmuting Jesse the Body Ventura, which means if you guys want to hear racist conspiracy theories, have I got some good news for you.
But
Jesse the Body Ventura was a great commentator before he lost his dang mind.
Oh, he's amazing. Let me tell you something, McMahon.
You know the funny part? It's only even funny because talking about the music, and especially if they get into the 80s. Oh, my word, the licensed music they're going to have to deal with.
Especially with ECW stuff. Which used a lot of pop music. I mean, Sandman.
Like, Enter Sandman.
With Metallica, yeah.
I mean, the most funny thing is that ECW back in the day didn't license it.
No, they didn't. They didn't give a shit.
Yeah,
Paul Heyman, not good with legal shit.
It's really funny because I was watching like some of the old 80s WWF stuff, and like Coco Beware came down to the ring with the Birdman, I think he came down to the ring to a More Stay in the Time song at one point, and. If I can remember correctly. If I'm wrong, please do not hesitate to correct me. I can't. But I remember he used, because he used a pop song. The early Saturday Night's Main Events used a pop song. They used the Animotion, My Obsession.
I feel like they would do it for their stuff. I feel like it might be a bit harder for ECW.
ECW's going to be a riot. I want to see that nightmare. It's like, Enter Sandman, because they actually on the ECW stuff, didn't they put like a generic theme for like Sandman, generic rock theme, insert here?
They do it now for a lot of stuff. Like they do it, like if you watch something, like they do it for Undertaker during his period of time where he had Kid Rock and Limp Bizkit. They do it for Edge when he had that song. So out of that stuff, a lot of people who had like those licensed theme music pay-per-views, mm-hmm. which is, yeah, they do that really whenever they re-air it. Like, what was it? WrestleMania, not this year, the year before, when Undertaker took on Triple H, and he had the For Who the Bell Tolls.
Yeah.
No, he had Ain't No Grave.
Yeah, the and, Johnny Cash run. Yeah, Who the Bell Tolls was the year before. Was that last year? I don't remember. They used that at one point.
But they did. They aired it on, what did they air it on? NBC. And they replaced it with, like, a Tattoo song? Tattoo? The song that, I forget this. But it's such a weird thing that they wouldn't just kind of re-license it for TV or something. But, yeah, I really, that is going to be the interesting one because that
it's like, what, did Johnny Cash ask for more money? I mean, I don't think he did, considering he's no longer alive.
I feel like they probably license it for like one event and then decide that it's not. But that's really weird. You would think you would license it for whatever you reuse that. Because you know that it's not something that's going to end once you do that. But
I think that's what they're doing now because they now have this network they have to worry about and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
At least I would assume that's what they do now.
Always remember, TV licensing is weird. Because this is going to be very oddball reference, but there's good reason why if anyone ever watches WKRP in Cincinnati and ever catches it on TV and wonders, huh, wasn't there another song? Isn't there supposed to be like a song playing here? That's like, yep, they only had the rights to air it that one time on TV, and that was it.
It happens with Scrubs on Netflix too sometimes because
they
used a lot of pop.
Thank you for the more recent reference, by the way. I did not know it.
Some of the songs they could still use, some of them they can't.
I haven't even noticed that, but now I'm going to pay attention next time I watch Scrubs.
For older stuff, it makes sense because back then people didn't think like, oh, we will have like the second or third outlet, we can make more money off it later on.
Yeah,
usually like nowadays with music, like sometimes they'll do. Like, okay, we'll pay you for the licensing for like, this time, and then we'll also set it up for, like, future airing, so they pay them, like, a good chunk of change up front, or some sort of, like, royalty set up to be able to do this, like, play the song indefinitely, because it's like CM Punk, he's using In Living Color song, so.
That's going to be another interesting one.
First of all,
so, of course, In Living Color probably going, You brought us our career back. Thank you.
As awesome as this, I even said this yesterday. I wish you would go back to This Fire. I love that, the Kill Switch Engage theme song he used. That was so awesome.
Yeah. It's weird. I've gotten so accustomed, like Kim and Orton, I've gotten so accustomed to their current theme songs. Like when you go back and like rewatching some of this, like when he used the, and Orton had the, hey, nothing you can say. Whatever. The one he had, like, the post-evolution one that was really hammy.
That's why Cody Rhodes is awesome, because he just keeps using the same song. It just keeps getting remixed or redone in different ways.
And it's really funny. The odd thing about Cody Rhodes, like, he has not, like I said, he just has this theme song. They change it up. And now some of these teams are the Goldust, and they all have that really cool remix of Goldust theme mixed in with Cody Rhodes song. I'm like, what?
Well, it's more like Cody Rhodes mixed in with Goldust, because it's mostly Goldust theme song.
Yeah, it is most, but it works pretty well, honestly.
I always kind of dig the combined theme songs, like Jericho,
mm-hmm.
and Kane and X-Pac had one, Taker and Big Show had one.
Yeah, I actually did not realize they were in a tag team, so I looked like, they were in a tag, oh my god, I'd forgotten about that completely.
It was actually a fun tag team. It was before people started. I think this was kind of the era where people started to hate X-Pac.
Do you think he's sad that he's not? He's the one who's not back?
I was wondering about that.
He sits at home going, man, I was a Chikara. What the fuck, guys? Better than that blonde, balding asshole.
Well, X-Pac is... Yeah, poor guy had a very bad injury that I think he's mostly recovered from, but... He had a really bad injury. Because you guys heard about X-Pac's injury he had a little while back. The
anal bleeding.
Yeah, there you are. The ow!
I guess China was doing it too rough.
Oh, that's messed up, man.
That's not right. That's not right.
Oh, oh God. Oh,
anyhow, I guess we should begin to wrap.
Did we actually predict who we think is going to win the Rumble?
Oh, did
we did it.
We did it. That is a fair, somebody's keeping us honest here. So who do we predict is going to win the Royal Rumble?
I think it's tough, but I think probably Batista.
I feel like it's Batista, but I feel like that's too... Like, I feel like the WWE... it's really weird that they're going to be so obvious, because it does seem like they're pretty much setting up the roadmap where it's Orton versus Cena, Orton versus Brock, and then Orton versus Batista at WrestleMania. It's like, yeah, but why are you setting up this roadmap so early?
Like, it seems too obvious, but otherwise, I don't know. They're not going to give Daniel Bryan the win. I don't think so.
They don't have...
CM Punk the win.
I think because it's so obvious Batista is going to win that he's not. Like last year with Jericho.
Yeah, but who do you think then?
No, last year was Cena.
Year before with Jericho, excuse me.
Last year was pretty obvious it was Cena, especially once Rock won the title. I think the big thing is, since they merged the titles, you don't even have the chance of, like, okay, the guy who's going to challenge for the World Heavyweight title is going to win Rumble. I mean, there's a lot of time in between now and WrestleMania where they can kind of, especially, you know, Elimination Chamber, they can kind of mess around with it. But it does seem like they are kind of penciling in Batista and Orton. It doesn't necessarily need to be for the title, but it doesn't necessarily need to be Orton going in with the championship, but if not, who goes in as champion at WrestleMania?
Yeah.
It's like a rumor that I think we're all probably thinking, likely Batista, but WWE can also, though at the same time, Batista does have a movie coming out later this year.
Yeah, but I mean, by then you can kind of put the title on him and cancel SummerSlam or something like that. And I mean, even then, you don't necessarily need to have the guy with a championship, but I assume they would want to because he's going to be doing a Conan and the Ignite and stuff like that, and he wants somebody who carries it around with
him. And Batista will carry the belt with him. That would be the one thing you could get that Batista would end up doing, is if he won the championship.
You mean like when The Rock won the championship and didn't carry the belt with him everywhere?
Like Batista would. Like Batista would carry that belt because he'd probably go, oh, yep, look, I'm champion.
Listen, I think Triple H is going to win the Royal Triple H Rumble for Triple H's.
Oh, that.
And then he will win the WWE Triple H World Heavyweight Triple H Championship Triple H.
The authority has now, like, oh, God, really?
I can tell you, that if Bryan wins, I would be pretty happy, but like I said, I don't believe it. What would surprise me who would win is if they give Roman Reigns a win.
That would be pushed to the moon right there.
That would be like,
it's going to be a dual winner, just like when it was it Luger and Bret Hart?
Yeah.
It's going to be Cesaro and Bray Wyatt.
I don't know if you guys have heard, like...
Ario and Bray Wyatt, dual win, me and Tom Nix, both different sides of the country, explode into showers of sparkles.
Yeah, but if I mean, that is a possibility they haven't done a triple threat match in a while, which is something that they could do, but...
As long as four corners match again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we won't get that far, I hope.
No. I remember that. I kind of remember at the Thor Four Corners, I was like, oh boy.
I think my favorite's Batista. I think Bryan is a possibility, but I don't think it's going to happen. Roman Reigns is an outside chance, but I really doubt.
The only thing, because I mentioned Roman Reigns only because of what I've read from Dave Meltzer when he said, like, they are really high on him and we won't believe how much they are going to push him. That's the only reason I mentioned him.
In Roman Reigns, I mean, they are readying that Roman Reigns, holy crap,
the natural story with him, especially being with the other members, would be him going after Ambrose's U.S. title.
Nah. I think he's going to aim higher than that.
Yuri's title is uninteresting. He isn't even defending it in any way, shape, or form.
Well, wouldn't that be a great... That would actually be a great moment. Like, Ambrose is like, so what? Were you going to come after this? You're going to come after this? What? You would, and Roman Reigns is like, no. I'm going above you, motherfucker. So, yeah. So, odds on favorite, Batista, maybe Brian, Roman Reigns at Dark Horse. If Bray Wyatt wins, that's just in the fan fiction I'm writing on my secret Tumblr.
and I guess a real dark horse, which I think is possible, they might do CM Punk because they probably want to show footage of somebody winning at number one again, since they can't really use the ass guy who won.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle. Surprise entrant, Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle, isn't he still under contract to TNA? I don't think it matters.
Yeah. Surprise entrance, Sting.
Oh, good.
He actually isn't under contract.
No, yeah, he breaks his hip on his way to the ring.
That would actually be funny if, because he actually, Martin, just said, like, he's not under contract, so he could appear on WWE TV and pop up.
What's his face? AJ Styles.
Oh, AJ Styles.
Huh?
Yeah, when people go, who's that?
Yeah,
who that is? That's wait, who is that?
Because he's appearing on ROH. The ROH audience, they'll know him. And like people who have been watching like ROH, like yeah, like I watch ROH, so I'm like, okay, I know this guy. Like a lot, but if like he's in WWE, people be like, oh, he's on TNA. What? It's like how Rob Van Dam appears on WWE TV, loudest pop he ever got in his entire life, and everyone goes, oh, he was in another federation? It's like, exactly. It's like, oh, TNA. I don't think anyone cares about you anymore.
Royal Rumble winner, El Generico. Not Sami Zayn, El Generico.
I like how your mic messed up and it went with that announcer voice.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. Someone all...
Actually, no, it was really funny when Sami Zayn popped up in NXT and they show him as El Generico in his first couple... Like a couple of those live shows, and they showed him in the El Generico mask. I'm like, oh, that's funny.
If he would come out as El Generico, I would genuinely mark out.
That would be funny.
Okay, but let's start rapping. We will be back at least two more times before WrestleMania, possibly. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the WWE Network when it launches, but we might double that up and do that because Martin wants to do Scooby-Doo's WrestleMania Adventure, or whatever it's called.
Oh, my Lord. I saw that trailer. Oh my Lord.
And it does seem fitting, since we are in the middle of Janet-Barbera, to do Scooby-Doo meets wrestling at some point.
Will not be on that podcast.
My friend also suggested we do a Wrestling for Beginners podcast, and I felt that the launch of the network would have been the perfect time to try something like that.
I will actually try to watch the network during the one-week trial. Maybe I can get it to work.
Yeah. So, yes, that will do it for us this week. I want to thank Nicholas, Wesley, and Martin for joining us.
Go to howibecameinvisible.com. Buy an awesome album.
Anybody else with anything to plug?
Sorry, no. I put that out a year ago, so I want to keep pushing it.
I want
to record more music. howibecameinvisible.com.
And we will be back next week with our Hanna-Barbera podcast, because we should do that at some point. See you later.
On January 24th, 1988, a tradition was born.
It is now time for the Royal Rumble!
30 superstars, one winner. With a main event championship opportunity at WrestleMania on the line, the 27th annual Royal Rumble match is truly all about the numbers. 208,993 pounds. The astronomical mass of humanity that has competed in the Rumble.
Going to where the beef is? There's the beef pound.
That's the weight of four semi-trucks or 492 big shows. 25. The Royal Rumble is truly an international affair, with superstar competitors representing 25 different countries spanning the globe. 39. the total number of WWE Hall of Famers who have competed in the Royal Rumble match. These legends combined to headline 27 main events at WrestleMania. 3 Stone Cold victories in the Royal Rumble match, more than any other superstar in history. 9 The total number of superstars who have won the match in their Rumble debut. Among those winners,
Brock Lesnar,
who became the youngest in history at the age of 25. Number 1. When it comes to being first in the Rumble, an entrance starts at a distinct disadvantage. However, it's a number that has generated the same amount of winners as the coveted number 30 spot. And for the past decade, 62% of all Royal Rumble winners have gone on to win the championship at WrestleMania.
Only one man can emerge victorious.
Will main event WrestleMania.
The road to WrestleMania begins at the Royal Rumble. Shot everything.